Protecting us last night, right, from that tornado warning. How many were praying? Raise your hand if you were praying last night, okay? All right, that it's nothing to be taken lightly that we're seeing more and more storms affecting all different parts of the United States, whether it be tornadoes, whether it be floods, whether it be hurricanes or droughts. That seems like parts of the country where it didn't used to get anything are getting something now. Well, that's partly because God is having to lift his hand of protection off the United States because of our disobedience to him and our sinful ways. So let us pray, always pray for our country, that God will send a revival and that God will move on hearts to save people. Let us all continue that good singing. Hymn number 32, I'm sorry, There Shall Be Showers of Blessing Sent from the Father Above. And let us turn over to that song, There Shall Be Showers of Blessing. 529, very appropriate this week with the showers we got. 529, let's stand together as we sing this song. 529.
There shall be showers of blessing.
Come and now honor thy word, everyone. Shout.
today they may fall. Now as to God we could not cling, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Amen. Wonderful singing. Let us bow together in prayer this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of being able to come together on this July 7th morning to worship you in your house. As you have said in the book of Acts, that the Christians met on the first day of the week. We are so thankful that since Jesus rose from the grave on Sunday morning, that we now can worship you on the first day of the week. The new day that you have made to set aside to worship you. We pray that we might do that today, that we might implore your mercy, your forgiveness for our sins, Lord. We know that our nation is falling further and further into decline due to sin, Lord. Help us to be there for our nation, to be the mediator, to pray for our nation, to pray for our citizens, pray for our families, to pray for our church, to pray for our communities, that they might reach out to the Lord and call out for help, Lord, and confess their sin and turn from their wicked ways and believe on the Lord. Help us first as your people to do the first works of repentance, because we know if we don't do our job first that they won't want you in their life. We pray that you'd help us today, that you'd minister to our needs, that you'd comfort those who need comfort, that you'd help those who need encouragement, that you'd teach those who need teaching, that you'd rebuke those who need rebuking, Lord. Help us to have our spiritual needs met this morning from your word. We pray especially for Tricia and Evan as they're still traveling down there from Michigan and Illinois back down to Eric's in North Carolina. We pray you just keep them safe there as they are now back at Eric's. We pray you give them a safe rest of the week as they come back to us soon. We pray, thank you for bringing the Hodges back safely to us this week from Atlanta and Florida. We thank you that the families are doing well. We pray you continue to minister to Anthony and his family and the loss of his brother-in-law. We pray you just meet their needs and help any in the family who aren't yet saved to trust Christ. And we pray you'd also be with Roy this morning, that you just put your healing hands upon him. We pray for Angela Straw, that you would just meet her needs, Lord, that you would just minister to her and her time of need. We pray for, thank you that Patty is out this morning. We pray you'd be with anyone else who's hurting, Lord, that you just put your healing hands upon them, that you'd raise them up and bring them back together with us very soon. We thank you for the great week of VBT this past week. We thank you for the many boys and girls, many teenage boys and girls that came out as well and heard your word. We thank you for the three that made professions of faith in Christ. We pray you'd help them to grow in you. We pray for Josh and Julian and Jack. Lord, we know these three boys hold great potential for you. If they would live for you and go your way, Lord, and be discipled, Lord, we pray you just help us as a church to come around them. We pray for the parents that came this week, the many different moms and dads and aunts and uncles and grandparents that came this week and heard the gospel, perhaps for the very first time, Lord. We thank you for that great privilege that we had to give your life-changing gospel to them. We pray that you'd now cultivate those seeds in their hearts, that the Holy Spirit would continue to convict them, that they might see their need of a Savior and come to Christ very soon. We pray for our campers this week as well, that you'd take them safely to camp tomorrow and give them a great week of safety and blessing and learning more of your word, Lord. Just as we have fun together, we pray you'd keep them safe and give a good week. We pray you'd be with those, any that need your healing touch in their bodies, Lord. We pray you'd minister to them. And we thank you for this wonderful week. We pray you'd bless our president, his advisors, our Congress, our representatives, our senators, our governors, our mayors, Lord. I pray that you would help them to open their Bibles and to read your word and see what it says, for how to make wise decisions for our country, Lord, that they may any who aren't saved, that they would get saved. And those who are saved, that they would apply the truths of the scriptures to their ruling. And I pray you just bless our nation, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you for this another birthday that we can celebrate of the most freest nation in the world. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Let us turn back in our hymn books as we sing God's praises. And the next song is...
One,
there
shall be
sunshine in my soul.
Yes.
Sunshine in my
soul.
Okay. All right, let us go to Sunshine in My Soul. 364. May be a little bit drizzling outside, but the weather doesn't keep us from having sunshine in our hearts. 364.
There is sunshine in my soul today. More glory.
VBT video. Jonathan, do you have that close at hand? I'd like to show a brief part of this week's video. What happened this week? Some fun things. We'll just show a couple minutes of that. And a lot of neat, exciting things. And it almost feel like we have to do a food challenge today, but we're not going to. But we are food challenged out, right? Some of the teens had to eat some fun things, and the kids, they had a lot of fun. So, all right, we'll show the video. Go ahead.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith.
Trophy. So what we have is we made a mistake until now. So if you can come up and get your appropriate award, let's see, we'll start with If you know, you know who you are. Come on up. If you did not get your award, and you will get it now. So come on up. Teens. It was a lot of teens. It was Paul, Zion, Zamora, Jonathan, and yeah. So come on up. And let's. So Paul got third place for 7th through 9th overall. Excellent job. Paul Wright, third place with 20,800 points. Excellent job, Paul. And then second place with 21,100 points. She beat her brother by 300 points. Second place, Lydia Wright. Good job. And then first place with 22,100 points. 1,000 more, Zion. Great job. Yes, we have a Good Neighbor Award. This goes to Azaria for bringing her cousins with her on Friday. Come on, Azaria. Come and get the Good Neighbor Award. There you go. And Darnell is runner-up for that as well because he brought a visitor as well, Pops. All right, then, Jonathan, come on up. Third place for overall for 10 through 12th grade points. Excellent job. And then second place, 8,800, Savon. Excellent job. And then first place for 10 through 12 was Stephen Altamari with 17,000. And he's not here. Have to get him his later. All right. Was there anyone else who did not get one? Because we also have Darnell, Savon, and Zari, you get certificates too. Let's give out. Okay, Alzina Watson, come on up for participation all week. She was here. Were you here every day? Alzina. Almost perfect attendance for her. Then we have Azaria Brown, come on up. Perfect attendance. And then Armani, come on up. Perfect attendance. For the day shift work. And excellent participation, excellent helpfulness. Armani did a great job this week. Doing something special. I think this is worth mentioning. He's using some of his money that he's earning as a junior intern this year to help his sisters go to camp. Isn't that wonderful? Let's give Darnell a big round of applause for that love gift to his sisters. All right. What's that? Oh, and Keith. I'm sorry. Keith, come on up. Excellent participation this week. He was here 4 out of the 5 days. Excellent job, Keith. Good job. And he did a great job helping us each day as well. All right, is there anyone that I did not mention? Okay, we don't want to miss anyone. Okay, yes, Abigail did a great job this week. Coming every day. Come on, thank you. It says, Jesus, my best friend. Jesus, your best friend? All right. Good. All right. And then we'll pass these out for all the adults that are here, the adults who prayed and helped us prepare and set up. So we'll need some of our ushers to help pass these out. Our junior ushers, come on up. Give us a hand. Help pass these out to your parents and adult leaders here. Come on up. Good. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. So they each get a set of three cards. They're all ready to get set. Okay. Give them just like that. Everyone gets a set. No, they're together. Here you go, Bob. They're all together. Yeah. Okay, great. That's it. God's nation.
Yeah, all the grown-ups get just that theory. Yeah,
okay. All right. At this time, we will direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. Raise your hand. Need a bulletin, just keep your hand up. Eric, if you can help too. Pass the bulletin back. Mm-hmm. All right. Putting you to work this morning. He maketh the storm a calm. Pass out bulletins. No bulletins. Eric. Bulletins is back there. Yeah. There we go. How many feel like this last week was crazy? Ah, aren't you glad when the Lord kind of settles things down, right? It's wonderful to be able to get some rest, get some recuperation, and well worth it. All the wonderful things that happen, spiritual victories on every level, and he makes the storm a calm. Very appropriate bulletin. Just by way of other announcements, we want to welcome the Hodges back. Maybe they can share how their trip went. How did your trip go down south?
Kind of a trip, especially our flight time. We almost missed one flight on the way back up. But the Lord gave us this guidance, and we got this plane on time and safe.
Amen.
We wanted to see the relatives and the families and some of the cousins online coming in, and we really shared the time with them. Just that time went by too fast.
Okay. Amen. Amen. You were sorely missed, but you had good replacements. Good thing you recruited Brother Daniel and Brother Dave over there, and their wives. They just did phenomenal job there with the teens and Pastor Logan. And all of them filling in for you. Just by way of announcements, this week is camp. So campers, please let me know today. If you haven't let me know that you're coming, please let me know today so we can get you on the list. We're planning on taking the green van and the red van. So if we can have them all, we'll get them all set up tomorrow. But if we can gas them up today, that'd be great. So we're going to have a full green van and a full red van, it looks like. So we're excited. We're going to have about 20 coming, including adult leaders, including everyone, 20 going to camp. So pray for us. And then we praise the Lord for Brother Daniel and Sister Hannah being with us. We do need some who would help take them out to dinner, or have them at your home, or have them here at the church. If you can do that this week, I know Daniel will be with me at camp. And I think Friday night is covered. Can we pass the sign-up list, Carol, around? I don't know if any other needs are needed. I know Sister Hannah will be at the Gibsons this week, so if you'd like to take Sister Hannah out, that would be appreciated, I'm sure. And she'll give you good company, and you'll get to meet a dear Christian friend. Then our second quarter church business meeting, we're planning for Sunday, July 28th, after the morning service. We look forward to that, and look forward to getting things organized here in the church for God's service. All right, are there any other announcements that need to be mentioned? Raise your hand. We'll be happy to talk about it. Okay. All right, at this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. God says that bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there shall be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God says, so when we give to God, he gives right back to us, only he gives more. His one Christian said, I shovel it into God's coffers, and he shovels it right back into my coffers, only God's shovel is bigger. And so God has the bigger shovel, so let's entrust him with our money, because it will come back to us and more, as it's a step of faith, as any other step in the Christian life. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to give back to you, Lord, a portion of that which you have given to us. We ask the blessing of God that you give, which you give us. May your name be glorified as we give. We have an easy name. As we give you the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Let us turn back to our hymn book as we sing the hymn, His Name is Wonderful. His Name is Wonderful, before our special music this morning. And the page is 811. 811 in the blue hymn book. 811. His Name is Wonderful. Let's all stand together as we sing this song.
His name is wonderful. His name is
811 in the blue hymn book. 811.
Yeah.
They will be coming back in at the end for communion in about 25 minutes or so. Let us turn our Bibles this morning. Book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8 is where we are in our study of Proverbs. And here we see wisdom in the personified. Wisdom personified. And God uses some interesting personification for wisdom. Who is wisdom? Well, wisdom is Jesus Christ is wisdom. And here it's personified by Christ, but as well to the young man, it's personified as a wise woman. Okay? And so we see here that wisdom is personified as the wise woman. It's interesting how Proverbs lays itself out, how God laid out Proverbs to the young man. Lady Wisdom is calling out to him. Why? Why do you think Lady Wisdom is calling out to the young man? Hear, my son. She crieth in the streets. Why do you think God inspired Solomon to use that, especially for the young man in particular, so that they would do what with Lady Wisdom? That they would find her and then do what? And then marry her, right? Okay, so it's interesting how God sets Proverbs out. You know, don't find the strange woman, the harlot woman. Don't find her. She's no good. She'll lead you to death. She'll lead you to hell. She'll lead you to all kinds of heartache and problems and sorrow. But if you find Lady Wisdom, you should definitely meet up with her and marry her and then embrace her your whole life. And of course, Jesus Christ is personified by wisdom. Jesus is wisdom. Okay, so that it's interesting how it lays out. And so in the opposite side of the coin, young ladies are then exhorted the same thing. Teen girls. Hey, you teen girls, don't go after the selfish man or the man, as it talks about in Proverbs chapter 4, the mischief of the wicked man. Don't go after him. Don't go after the evil man, the wicked man. Instead, find the wise man. That's the one you want to find. Okay, so Proverbs is written not just to adults. Proverbs is written to teenagers as well. And so it's very important, teens, that you grapple a hold of what Proverbs has. There was a beautiful young mother in New York City. She returned to the building in which her little infant lay asleep. And she was appalled to see the building in flames. The firemen could not restrain her, and she dashed through the flames to rescue her child. In doing so, she was so severely burned that her face was horribly disfigured for life. When she looked at her face in the mirror after it was healed, she was shocked at her appearance, but was comforted by the thought that when her little girl reached adulthood, she would appreciate the sacrifice that her mother had made to rescue her. The little child grew to be a young woman of uncommon beauty. One day there was a boat excursion up the river, and both mother and daughter went. The beautiful daughter was on the front deck, surrounded by a host of admirers, laughing and talking. The disfigured mother was on the rear deck, looking after their things. The mother went to the front deck to speak to her daughter. As she drew near, a young man asked the beautiful young girl, "Who is that hideous-looking woman?" In a low tone, the beautiful daughter said, "I don't know." But the words were not so low that the mother couldn't hear them, and her loving heart was broken by the gross ingratitude of the daughter for whom she had sacrificed so much. That mother rescued that child, her child, from that burning building, not taking thought for her life, and got those horrible burns by rescuing her daughter there in New York City. How we shudder at the thought of such awful ungratefulness, but are we not guilty of a greater lack of appreciation toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? His visage was marred more than any man's, and his form more than the sons of men. Yet how many today are ashamed of him and say, "I don't know him"? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've made. We thank you that we can enjoy what you are doing in our hearts today. How you are, you have saved us from sin. How you have set us our feet upon a solid rock and established our goings, and now we are your children. Lord, help us to learn and grow today from Proverbs chapter 8, that we would apply these truths to our lives, that we would not just let them slip in one ear and out the other, Lord. I pray that you fill me with thy Spirit, and fill each one of us with your Spirit, that we can appropriate these truths this morning. We pray for each teenager here as well, that you'd help them to apply what they're learning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Proverbs 8, verse 1. It says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." Of man. So here we see, number one, wisdom is crying out to you this morning. Wisdom is crying out to you and me this morning that we can choose to go one of two ways. We can go choose to go after wisdom and after God's word, or we can choose our own way. Wisdom is crying out to us. Here we see, and in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, let's go over there. Keep your bookmark there in Proverbs 8, Colossians 2. Let's read verse 2 as well. Colossians 2, 2 and 3. Is everyone there? Okay, everyone needs their Bibles, okay? Don't settle for looking across your neighbor, because that eventually that's going to tire. Okay. get your own Bibles. That way you have it. Okay, does anyone need a Bible? We have some extras up here.
Does anyone need a Bible? Okay, Mr. Hodge will have them. If you need one, just flag him down.
Okay, Colossians 2, 2 and 3. And let us read it together. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here we see, who did God the Father give all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Who did he hide them in? Does anybody know? According to that verse? God the Father hid them in Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we see that God holds the treasures. He hid them in His Son, Jesus Christ. When He sent Him down to earth, Jesus said about that when He came to earth, He said in Hebrews 4, "Lo, a body Thou hast prepared Me. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of Me." Jesus talked about that as He remembered when He came to earth. As He inspired Paul or whoever the writer of Hebrews was to write that in there, Jesus was recalling when God made that body for Him. And when He came to earth, and when He walked on this earth, you know, we had wisdom personified walking on earth. Isn't that wonderful? That God would love us that much to give us His Son, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so, we need to recognize this, that the closer we grow to our Bible, the closer we read it and memorize it and take heed of it each day, the closer we will come to Jesus each day. You realize that? Our success is hinged upon that great truth. Joshua said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and how long?
Night.
That thou mayest do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt what? Make thy way prosperous." Who wants to have a prosperous life? You want to, you know what? You want to make enough money to be able to feed your family and be able to have what you need. You want your car not to break down. You want to be able to get to and from, right? You want to be able to be a blessing to people around you. Well, that's prospering. And how do we prosper? By not letting God's word depart out of our mouth. But meditate in day and night, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So here we see our relationship to Jesus Christ is directly proportionate to our relationship with this book, the Bible. How are you doing in your relationship with Jesus Christ? You say, well, that's such a nebulous question. No, it's not. It's how often are you reading your Bible and meditating on it, and then praying to your Lord. Okay, and so it's directly proportionate. And you say, well, Pastor, that's just your words. No, that's the Word of God. I heard other preachers say the same thing. In fact, I heard a message this week on success. And that's what the preacher said. He said, our success in the Christian life is directly proportionate to how often we read this book. That's very interesting. So even the most immature Christian, maybe a Christian who doesn't know a lot, they can be more successful than you and I as more mature Christians if they get in the Word more. And at times in our Christian life, we may have been jealous of that person and say, how can they know such things? They're just newly saved. Or how can they be so happy all the time? They're just newly saved. Well, it's because they have not been out of their Bible. They've been in their Bible. And so it should provoke us to jealousy as mature Christians and say, wow, I got to get back to reading my Bible more. I got to get back to praying more. And so here it's directly proportionate. So wisdom is crying out to us every day. Come, read. Come, get wisdom. It's here. It's here for the taking. Amen. Tommy's excited. You and I need to get excited about that, right? You know what? What else is crying for our time and attention every day? What are some other things competing with the Bible's cry, with God's cry and tugging on our heart? What is competing with that?
Work.
Okay, work is crying. And if you don't show up on time, the boss will be crying in your ear. If you do it a few times, the boss will be saying, don't come in today. You don't have a job anymore. Okay, yeah, so that's a competition. What else? The world is crying. How is the world crying? What's that?
Entertainment.
Attractions. All you have to do is drive down the street and see where everyone is hanging out.
Ooh, they're crying out. I have to go there.
Okay, the world is crying out. Entertainment is crying out. What else? What else is crying out for our attention? Family, okay? Family. Oh, just don't go to church on Sunday. Come with me. Instead, you should say, no, you come with me.
Right.
Come to my house, stay overnight, and then we'll go to church.
Right.
And bring them to church with you. That is the most blessed family time you'll ever have, is when they come to church, and then God then blesses all your other family time. Okay, so let's not skip church to meet with family. Bring your family to church. Bring your friends that come over to church. Don't say, oh, Pastor, I have to miss this week because so-and-so is coming over to my house. Well, where are you going? We're going to the park. Okay, so family is, you're going to let your family take you away from God? Don't you need to take your family to God?
Yes. Yeah.
It should be the opposite. We should be the one pressuring them. Come with me to church. Okay? And sure enough, then God will bless you and bless them. And perhaps they may hear the gospel and get saved. Or may they may hear a message and get on fire for God again. And then you'll have a family member who will encourage you in the Lord, not pull you down in the Lord. Okay? So turn the whole equation around by having wisdom, getting at their heart too. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. God is calling out to every person. Listen, take heed. My wisdom is available. So God's cry needs to be the first cry on our hearts every day. It's the one that should be the loudest. It's the one that should be the one heeded. We may not get to all the other calls that are calling for us, but we will get God's call. That's the most important call to get. Jeremiah 33:3. Guess what? You and I get a phone call every morning from God. You know what he says? Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. That's God's phone number. Jeremiah 33:3. And so God is calling every morning. Are you picking up the phone? Or are you staying in bed? Well, a little longer sleep, Lord. I need a little longer sleep. And then we rush and we wake up and we rush around. And then everything else is crying and we never get to our Bible. Well, that's taking the wrong phone call. Sleep is calling. And you, instead of picking up God's phone, you picked up sleep's phone. And he said, okay, sleep, I'll go back to sleep. Okay, don't pick up sleep's phone. Pick up God's phone first and you will be blessed as you get your rest later. Okay? It's so important to prioritize. You know, instead of, here's the thing. We say, oh, I need to watch this TV program later on at night. I need to watch. And we jeopardize our sleep for something that's so trivial as entertainment or the news or whatever else. And then we don't pick up God's phone the next morning because we made the wrong decision to pick up the TV's phone instead. Okay, so we've got to break that pattern. Break it. Say, Lord, I don't want that to happen anymore. I'm going to fight against it. We've got to be fighting Christians. That's what we learned about this week, is we have to arm ourselves every day with the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God. Okay, so I should challenge Brother Daniel to a duel this morning. Come on up, Brother Daniel.
No more soul. Yeah. No.
I have to get him back for all this. No, I'm just kidding. I should have David, Brother David, do that.
David better.
Yeah.
He and Brother Daniel had to work a lot together this week, and so here, Mr. Daniel, you have the sword of the Lord. Okay, and Brother David, come on up. He gets the sword of the flesh, the world, and the devil. Now, the flesh, the world, and the devil are also not just fighting as, but they are also shooting. I don't have it this morning, but looking. Shooting fiery darts, okay? So Brother David will picture the world, the flesh, and the devil. And every day the devil is trying to get us. Yeah, we need your shield. Here it is. We got it. It's a good thing Brother Daniel got God's phone call this morning. He armed himself with the word of God and with prayer. And therefore he put on the helmet of salvation, which covers and protects his mind against the thoughts that the world, the flesh, and the devil are trying to shoot at him. Here's your dart gun. Okay, and then he armed himself with the breastplate of righteousness by putting on the word of God this morning. You realize that? Whose righteousness are we wearing? Not ours. He put on Christ's righteousness by reading his Bible this morning. Then not only that, but because he read his Bible, guess what else is protected? His clothes. Okay, they stay on with the belt of truth. He girded his loins with truth. That means he had the proper frame of truth of the Word of God. So that way when the world and the flesh and the devil were saying, oh, you need to listen to what we say with transgenderism and this and that. And what the world thinks is popular today, you need to just go with the flow. And so as he's getting the fiery darts, the belt of truth is girding him. And then he also, because he read the Bible and prayed, his feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He's not ashamed today to read his, because he read his Bible and prayed, he's not ashamed to pass out gospel tracts. And not only pass out gospel tracts, but he's not ashamed to witness and say, hey, have you heard what Jesus has done for me? And so he's going to be sharing the good news. Why? He's not ashamed because he read his Bible this morning. And then what else did he put on by reading his Bible and praying? The two last ones that he's holding there. The shield of faith. Because he read his Bible and prayed this morning, he has faith to withstand the darts of the enemy as they're being tossed to him. He's able to move the shield around and say, no, wait, I'm going to trust God. You know, hey, the devil says, hey, skip tithing this week. Well, I'm going to trust God to tithe this week. And so as the darts come, he's going to protect himself. He's going to protect his wallet. And then the darts the devil is throwing, oh, you should just skip church this week. And he says, no, the shield of faith comes up and quenches that fiery dart. He says, I need church. God says, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will not forsake the Lord's assembly. That's where I need to be encouraged in the things of God. And then the other dart comes of against the family matters, you know, that it's okay if the kids go to this party and go with those friends that are questionable and watch this movie or that TV show because it's just, you know, that's what everyone else is doing. But no, Brother Daniel holds up the shield of faith as that fiery dart comes along. And he says, wait, God says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says, I'm not going to give in to that. I'm going to shield my family because they need me. They need me to protect them. They need me to stand strong and help them. And if you're a mom, if you're a lady, you need to do the same thing. If you're the spiritual leader in your house, you need to protect your family as well. And so we see. Then lastly, what can he fight the devil with? And the world. And the flesh. Okay, so gentlemen, you have to duel.
Okay.
All right, so the devil is coming at him with
You don't need to worship just the Lord. You can worship yourself too. And he fights at him, gives him some words. But Brother Daniel says, no, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Just like Jesus said to the devil when the devil came to attack him. He said, no, I'm not going to listen to you, Satan. And such things. And so every day, what if you didn't read the Bible? Put your sword down. And you didn't pray today. You can put your shield down too. Okay, he has no defense. Okay, so now, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Saul. Thank you for that. That was great. And they worked so well together. I want a repeat next year. Meeting together about this time next year. Same place, same time, same station. That would be wonderful. And so we see that God helps us to answer his call. Let's go to Proverbs 8, verse 5. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. What else do we get when we read the Bible? Wisdom gives understanding. So when we read the Bible, guess what? We have true understanding about what's going on. We have like an eagle eye. If we're just here on earth, you don't really see what's going on. But if you go up a little bit, they have drones now and they take really neat pictures and you can see the whole property. Well, that's what, literally, when we read our Bible, that's what it gives us. It gives us a whole peripheral view of what's going on in life. That we get understanding when we read the Bible. Verse 6, hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Okay, so here we see, guess what else will start changing as we yield to the Lord each day? We will start speaking better. Wisdom speaks truth. We will be reflecting the truth of God's Word. We will be reflecting not wicked things in our mouth, no wicked words. Our speech will start changing. Wicked words will go out by the wayside. That we will not be speaking wicked words. That's because wisdom is coming into our heart. Then verse 8, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to him that findeth knowledge. Number 4, we're going to find knowledge. Wisdom gives. We're going to start understanding more about what's going on in our lives and why. And why the Lord is doing such things and how he's doing it and where he's taking us and where we're going. We need that. We need God's wisdom to show us knowledge. We need insight into why things are happening in our life. But we won't have that unless we read God's Word. Then, verse 10, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it. Number 5, when you read God's Word, it's more valuable to you than the wealth of all the world. It's more valuable than what the world is offering. The world is offering petty trinkets, petty fake fool's gold. Here, come, get our fool's gold. Spend all your time watching us or living for us and spending time with us and we'll give you some great fool's gold. Then you try to cash in that fool's gold at the jewelers. You can turn your gold in here. You bring in your fool's gold, you lay it on, this is a heavy one here. You're going to owe me about $300 for this one. You put that fool's gold on top, or $600. It's a big rock. $600, that's what I'm... And they weigh it, and then they put the magnet on it. And then they, you know, they analyze, the guy looks at it with the magnifier, and he says, you get exactly nothing for this. This is, well, you're bringing pyrite in here, iron pyrites. Are you kidding me? Are you trying to, you know, are you trying to be a counterfeiter here? And then they get mad at you. Why? Because you thought that your time and your investment of energy on the world's wisdom and the world's foolishness was to be compared with God's riches. No, God's riches, when we read our Bible and pray and go to church and tell others about Christ and give to God, then we bring in our gold. Here, I have some gold to turn in. And we put it on the scale. Wow. Boy, you really got something here. That is heavy. I'll give you $1,200 for that. Why? All because we spent time on what was truly important. Wisdom. Wisdom. And let's go to verse 17. Jesus is calling us. Here's another one of God's phone numbers, Jesus' phone numbers. Let's read it together. Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. You realize that? If you seek Christ early, that means don't wait until you're tired. Oh, I don't know if I have time to read. I'm too tired. Don't wait until the day is spent. You know, you should meditate on the Lord at night too. But let not that be your first time. Don't wait until, oh, the world of my life is crumbling. Well, it's too late then. You could have benefited from His wisdom so much earlier. Well, it's still not too late to get it, but sadly, you're going to be catching up, playing catch up. No, I love them that love me. Those that seek me early shall find me. If you want the Lord's love just shining and radiating all over you and people looking at you and saying, wow, that's the Christian whom God prefers. I don't know about other Christians, but I just know that Christian right there, that's the Christian that God is preferring. He's choosing them out. He's specifically blessing that Christian. What are they doing? Well, they're loving the Lord early. They're loving Him and seeking Him early. And that's how we get the preference and favor of the Lord in our lives. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed as we close the service this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As we illustrate these biblical truths. Perhaps you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Rice, you know, I know I've been struggling in my Christian life, and I realize now why I've been struggling in my Christian life. Why I haven't had joy. Why I haven't had that success that I've been wanting. It's because I haven't been loving the Lord as I should. Because I haven't been loving His Word. But I want to change that this week. I want to spend time each day with the Lord. And show Him that I love Him. And show Him that I'm going to take that first phone call from Him first. Before I do other things. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly. Right there you say, amen, amen, amen. I want to show the Lord this week. I don't want to have no success. I want the favor of the Lord to be upon my life. Let you just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to look into Your Word. We thank You that Your words are a comfort as well as a rebuke to us. That Your words quicken us, make us alive. The world's words only deaden us and make us feel worse. But Your words make us alive. Lord, help us to love Your Word daily and to put on the armor daily so we can be ready for the attacks of the devil. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask our deacon to come as we close this service with communion. In our Bibles, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As we read of what Jesus has done for us, Jesus, who is all wisdom and knowledge, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Him. Well, here He came to the Last Supper table, and He shared some wonderful truths with us. He invites us to pull up a chair, to come to His supper table, and to partake of the wisdom and the truths that he has for us. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Here we see the wonderful truths here. Number one, that Jesus gave everything for us. Just like that mother literally risked her whole life, sacrificed her own body for her daughter, and literally came away with such horrible scarring and wounds that she was forever disfigured from that time forward. So the Lord had to undertake our salvation. And you know, he is still scarred today. That one day when we see Jesus, guess what we're going to see? We're going to see the nail prints in his hands. We're going to see where the sword pierced his side, where the spear pierced his side. We're going to see the prints of the scars, the place where he had to suffer and bleed and die for our sins. Oh, Mrs. Gibson wanted someone to get the kids, okay? Paul, did you get the kids over there? Tell Mrs. Gibson we're ready. And so Jesus had to do that. He had to suffer because you and I needed him to be our substitute, our propitiation for our sin. The wrath of God needed to be appeased because he was the only propitiation, the only substitute worthy to pay for it. And so that's a beautiful word, propitiation, as it says in Romans there. And so Jesus is our propitiation. Why? Because he loved us that much to go into that burning building after us. He went into this world that's decaying and being destroyed, and he went after us and bought us out of it, the slaves, the slavery of sin. And so here, notice the word ye, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. That word ye is plural, you plural. So here, what is the message here? The message is the church body. The plural church body is to partake regularly of the drinking the cup of the Lord and partaking of the broken body as a symbol of Jesus Christ's broken body. And so ye, Paul is reminding us that ye are a body of Christ, a church that it's a beautiful, anytime you see thou, it's beautiful. That means you singular, thou. Claim it, embrace it. In modern English, it's you for everything. And it's not individual, it's not specific. So you don't know if God's talking to just you individually, or ye collectively. But here in the King James, we have the beauty and precision that's reflected in the Hebrew and the Greek. So here, ye as a corporate body of the church, each local church assembly is commanded as an ordinance to eat this bread and drink this cup to show the Lord's death till he come. So what a privilege we have to remember what Jesus has done for us. To remember that he has spent his own life, his own blood for us. He gave his own body for us. Kids, it's not time to talk. It's time to find a seat and be quiet. Okay, find a seat and be quiet. And so Jesus says, "Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." So number one, God says to partake. Jesus calls us to partake of his broken body and his shed blood. Number two, he calls us to examine ourselves. Okay, kids? Shh, no talking. It's a very important time. This is where Jesus is calling us to his upper table. Okay? So who should be the one who's eating and drinking? Well, if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we read the context. Okay, who is 1 Corinthians 11 to? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 1 to find the context of 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Who would like to read 1 and 2 for us? 1 Corinthians 1, 1 and 2. Okay, Esther?
Paul, to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours.
Okay, so what's the first qualification for coming to the Lord's Supper table? Called to be saints. How do you become a saint? We're not talking about the worldly term saints. We're talking about the Bible word saint. How do you get to be a saint? Calling on the name of the Lord. Being saved. Simple. No, you don't have to live a life of sacrifice and poverty and this and that and then die and then years later they say, now we are going to name so-and-so as a saint. Well, what about all the other people that they missed? What about all the other people that gave a lot more and did a lot more? Well, that's not how God makes people saints.
No,
we humans, we mess up that whole process because we don't know the heart. Only God knows the heart. So how do you and I become a saint? By simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as our
Amen.
Savior. Aren't you glad? You and I this morning, if you're saved, you're a saint. You say, well, I don't feel like a saint this morning. Guess what? I don't either. But aren't you glad God says we're saints anyway?
That's right.
All we have to do every day to stay close to God and feel close to God is to confess our sin. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As the kids and teens learned the Billy Block 5-day continuing story this week, they're reminded of how sin has consequences. Billy Block, he came from a home that wasn't a Christian. He came from a home where the dad wasn't in the picture. The mom and the aunt were in the picture, and they didn't really have time for him. And so Billy Block would always go out in the neighborhood, and he started a gang. And he started a gang where they would just, one of the requirements was they had to curse. And they had to steal things, and they had to destroy property. That was the three rules of the gang. And Billy Block went and found out that doesn't work because he got caught and he went to juvenile detention hall. And for the first time in his life, when he was 13 years old, Billy Block there was Christians that came into that juvenile detention hall and on a Sunday and they shared the gospel with the boys there. They preached and they told about how Jesus could save them from their sins. And Billy Block said, what? Jesus loves me that much? And Billy Block, at first, he didn't want to give in because he loved his sin, but then he said, you know what? I can't hold on to this. This is taking me to hell. I don't want to go to hell and die in my sins for this. So 3 days later, at another invitation, he trusted Christ as a Savior. And Billy Block, God turned Billy Block's life around, and Billy Block, as a result of him sharing his testimony before the judge, he only got 3 years of probation. And as a result, he was able to witness to his gang members. And the gang members, many of them got saved. And then as he was, that next day, as they were at a camp out, one of his friends, Paul, who wasn't saved yet, was drowning. And Billy Block went in there and started pulling Paul out, but Paul was struggling and flailing, and as many times often do, they don't even know, but they pull the rescuer down under. And that's what happened to Billy. But then one of Billy's other friends grabbed Paul by the hair and was able to pull him back, but not before Billy had drowned. And so Billy died, but before he died that night before, at the memorial service a few days later, Paul shared what Billy had told him the night before. He said, Paul, he said, I'm a Christian, and I want to become a missionary. I want to tell the Lord Jesus of what Jesus has done for me to everyone so they can know how their sins can be forgiven. And so Paul said, he can't do that for us today, but I'm going to go in his place. I want to be a missionary. And so God, if God can change a heart like that, he can change you and I. And that story is told in countless Christians all over the world, Christians have been saved out of only what the Lord knows they've been saved out of. Such degradation, such depravity, such sin, but the Lord saves them and makes them new creatures and makes them missionaries. And that's what the Lord wants to do with you and I. So we are saints. Don't let the world tell us that you are not important to God. And then number two, what else? How else were they able to come to the communion table? Well, it says here in chapter 1, verse 14, Paul says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Behold, besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So here, the second way to come to God's supper table is you have to come through salvation and then baptism. You have to be baptized in order to come to God's supper table. Now, Paul didn't want to baptize a lot of people, especially in Corinth. Why? Because they were all saying, well, I got baptized by Paul. Oh, well, I only got baptized by brother so-and-so. Well, I got baptized by Paul. See, there was a lot of carnality in the Corinthian church, so Paul made it a practice, okay, you know what, I'm going to let the preachers in the church baptize. I'm the church planner, but they're the preachers, and he gave the baptism to them so that no one would talk bad about, well, I got baptized by Paul. Well, I only got baptized by preacher so-and-so. Okay, so you can see how the carnality was. But nonetheless, they had to get baptized, okay? So that's what brings us to the supper table. It's not enough to just be a Christian. You've got to be an obedient Christian. The way we become obedient is by going into the baptistry and getting baptized. That's obedience. That's what the Lord wants. And then thirdly, as we come to the Lord's supper table, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So number one, we got to be saved. Number two, we should be baptized. Number three, we need to examine ourselves. Just because you're saved and baptized and a church member here doesn't mean, well, all right, I can just come any old time I want. Well, we can have that attitude, but it's not going to go well for us. We need to examine ourselves. We need to see, Lord, am I right with you right now? Are my sins confessed? Is there any known sin in my life that I'm harboring? Verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So let us have a time of examination right now, to a silent prayer. Ask the Lord, are my sins confessed? And if not, confess them right now. Forsake them.
ask our deacon to come at this time as we thank the Lord for his broken body for us. Deacon Hodge.
Dear God, we give you thanks for this day, Lord, and the opportunity we have to share in the fellowship.
Minister.
Amen. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to partake of the bread that resembles our Savior's broken body. Amen. Father, bless it for our hearts as we can partake. May you be glorified. Father, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold, the man!" When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, "Behold, your king!" But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and the two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment, and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Jesus said, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And I ask our deacon to come once again as we thank the Lord for his shed blood for us on the cross.
Dear God, we give you thanks again this day, Lord, for the opportunity you've given to us, Lord, to partake of this Lord's Supper. It reminds us of Jesus' shed blood on the cross. Father, how we thank you, Lord, that because of his shed blood, we have forgiveness of sin. Lord, we pray, partake, Lord, we will be reminded of how much Jesus suffered on the cross and how he gave his own blood so that our sins can be forgiven.
Amen.
Lord, we give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. After this matter, the same matter also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let us all stand as we close in prayer, and we'll sing the first verse of Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. Let us close in prayer. Brother Dave Stahl, would you close?
Well, we do thank you for your sacrifice for our eternal life, not only eternal life, but that we might have life more abundant here.
Amen.
We thank you that you drew us together as a fellowship so we might be able to honor you and thank you. Lord, as we today, I pray you'll help us not to forget what we've learned, that we'll not just go about our day, but continue to reflect upon you and your sacrifice and your love. Lord, not just the love that was shown 2,000 years ago, but Lord, that you give us each day. Lord, help us to know you love us, to live for you because of that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
Amen. You are dismissed.